Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
She went sub 49, like not many athletes in the world have ever done that, you know? So it's just fantastic running.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
OTB's The Hurling Pod.
With Bord Gáis Energy.
Proud sponsors of the Senior Hurling Championship.
Now, you are very welcome along to a midweek bonus pod on the Hurling Pod because Bord Gáis Energy, of course, sponsors the podcast, have announced that new customers can now avail of 33% off their residential electricity plan for the next 12 months if they sign up before June the 30th. All the details are on boardgoshenergy.ie, and I'm delighted to say we're now joined by BG Hurling Ambassador, the Kilkenny forward Owen Cody. Owen, how are you getting on?
All good. Thanks for having me.
Sure, look, I suppose good off the back of another Leinster title at the weekend. Five in a row completed at this stage, and I suppose arguably your best performance of the year against Dublin at Croke Park on Saturday night.
Yeah. Definitely was our best performance of the year. It's probably been coming. We hadn't really showed probably much signs of this throughout the round robin campaign. We've been very close. We've had a few draws and few close wins, but yeah, look, we finally probably got our act together and maybe got the full panel back, lads from injury, and we knew what we needed to do on last Saturday, and we had a great performance. It was great.
Before we talk about the game itself, talk to me about you having to come through injury here, because you know your injury profile has been really good since you've broken onto the Kilkenny team. We saw you in the protective boot. You had to miss a couple of games against Carlow and against Galway. I'm sure that's very frustrating, Owen, at a time when the games are coming thick and fast in the round robin as well.
Yeah. So I suppose I never really had an injury before in terms of missing a championship game, so it was something new for me. But was that for? Was talking to hearing different lads in the team talk about what they've been through and stuff. What I had was very little, and I suppose even Peter Casey's injury happened when I was out against God. I remember after the Galway game, I think I seen it, and that put it into a bit of perspective. Like, you know, that was tough to see, and obviously you don't want to have any player. And I know what lads have been through on our team and stuff, and how tough it's been on them. And look, I knew mine wasn't too serious, and as soon as I knew I was going to be out, I was kind of about putting. Suppose on the brave face, I knew it was only the round robin, and there was going to be other games. I'll be back for them, so it was just about getting myself ready to be back and give the team a bit of a boost and everybody's back and get to the levels I need to be for the team as well.
Yeah, obviously the protective boot was exactly that, a protective boot then, because there was obviously that concern when people saw you hobbling out the ground on the day and the concern about, you know, potentially how long you could be out for. I'm guessing that was the medical team just taking every possible precaution then.
Yeah, that was the thing. I suppose you're meeting people around and they're seeing you in your boot and they're like, oh God, how long are you on for? And, you know, things like this. But I knew, I think it was only in the boot 2 weeks, and as soon as I was out of the boot, I was kind of nearly straight back. I think I was back on the pitch on a day later, like, you know. So as you said, it was just, I was telling them, no, it's not as bad. It looks bad, but it's not, it's grand, you know. It was all right. For them 2 weeks, the boot was probably essential, like, you know, kept the weight off. And as soon as I was out with it, it was just that bit of freedom, and I was just supposed to get back on the pitch again and strap up the old ankle and off you go. And it was great. Yeah, what you said, the protective boot was strictly just protective, and it wasn't a big ordeal either.
How did you find having a winter off? Because that has to be incredibly rare with the way that Ballyhale Shamrocks have been going in recent years, and you've been, you know, kind of going around the clock and then straight back in with Kilkenny. Loughlin Gaels win the title this year. Like, it wasn't like you weren't busy. I think you made the best of a few holidays and there was a few stags and different things on over the winter period, so it wasn't like you were quiet. But how did you find having a bit of a break away from hurling compared to what you've had over the last 3 or 4 years, really?
Yeah, I suppose, sorry, you spoke before that it was the first time I've been involved with Kilkenny that I had that break, so it was probably something new to me, and still obviously it was different. Yeah, it was completely different, and only now just probably made the year feel longer. You know, your training since maybe, I don't know, maybe about 4 December maybe, and I'm used to, so the boys come back in after a good campaign with the club, and you're coming back in after lads have probably done that heavy bit of work, and you know, maybe you might only have to do 2 or 3 weeks of. Kind of, I love to do that 2 or 3 weeks of not pushing yourself as hard as you can, and then you're back into the swing of things with the team and stuff. So it's been different, but it was really enjoyable. You know, probably got to maybe, you know, you get to know the lads a bit better as well, because there's a lot of new lads on the panel and stuff, and But that time of year, you probably get to maybe have express that a bit more, have a bit more crack and stuff. You know, you're in the gym together, you're in running and stuff. So, you know, you come in after a tough session and the boys are there and you're all bet together. It's a great way, I suppose, to boost morale and get to maybe know lads better and stuff. So it was really enjoyable. Obviously, I think when I sat down to watch the O'Loughlin's in the Leinster final, other in semi final, and other in final, you know, that envy was there, and I suppose it made me mad to, I suppose, put back on the green white of Ballyhale and get back there again, and I suppose in the next following years, hopefully.
There's no better hunger after a disappointment year. You want to get back and try and get your hands on the Kilkenny title again next season. But when it comes to Kilkenny, you mentioned the players coming back in, Owen, for last week. And look, I suppose Adrian Mullen, chief among them, fantastic return. Like, he hadn't been away. 7 points that he sticks over during the game. And like, it just, when he's in that free role and when he gets rocking, he's incredible, isn't he?
Different level of stuff. You know, Adrian, like, he's been so unlucky, I suppose, with injuries over the last number of years that probably hasn't been able to, I suppose, express himself as much as he probably would like in terms of Inch County. He's been so unlucky with injuries, so it's not easy. It hasn't been easy on him. But look, as you see, when he takes to the field and he's fully fit, you see what he can do. Like, he can do that. He'll do that every game, every day in, day out. He'll go do that, like, you know. But so it's just great to have him back there fully fit. I know it hasn't been easy on him, like, you know. Even last year as well, like, he just hadn't had easy. He missed out Club All Ireland last year and then got back and got injured with his thumb. And he was hurting then with his thumb, and like, probably shouldn't have been in terms of like fully fitness and stuff. So it's great to see him, you know, fully fit, nothing was hanging over him, and able to go up and just open up the legs and express himself on the pitch.
Yeah, because Paul Murphy was telling us last year when it came to the thumb injury, it was like Adrian was resisting, I think, getting a surgery on it to try and get back and play some part for Kilkenny. Maybe it kind of speaks to the sacrifices the players make, that they'll do anything possible to get back onto the pitch.
Oh, yeah, sure. Like, he's been through an awful lot, even with his cruciate and stuff. And he's seen why he had done that first year with Kilkenny, as well as an 18 or 19-year-old. It was unbelievable. And I suppose he just probably hasn't been able to get that consistent without the injuries and stuff, and why he's done with Ballyhale the last couple of years. And it's terrible when you see him pick up the run and he's flying, and then he's just unfortunate enough to pick up injuries. And look, we hope he can stay fully fit, because like, when you've got a lad out in half hour and he's hitting 7 points a game, that'll go a long way towards winning every day. So it's just about keeping fit, and it's great to have him back there flying it.
We were talking to your now former teammate Richie Hogan on Monday night's show on Off the Ball, and we asked him what felt different about Kilkenny, because everyone can analyse the way that Dublin approached against you and whether that was the right or wrong decision. But he was saying what he liked about Kilkenny is that you were fizzing the ball around so well. He felt that even compared to 2 or 3 weeks ago, it felt like things were clicking. And when you were moving the ball out of the half-back line, passes were sticking at the weekend. I presume a lot of that comes down to hard work over the last few weeks as well. It doesn't just happen like that.
Yeah, I think it definitely does. I think we prepared for it really well. I think having the ability to have played Dublin only 3 weeks ago, you know, you played them before. I think that always helps when you play a team the second time. So I always like to play teams as much as possible, especially was the teams at top. And you say like Limerick, like play Limerick as much as possible, because you get a feel for it. It's easy watching, and when you play against them, you know, you get the feel for what they do, and you probably gives you that bit. Basically, you get to know, you can learn on the job, you're not going away. We played Dublin 2 weeks ago, and we learned from that, you know. We knew what to do, so we were prepared, and we really worked the ball well. Like, the lads, Richie Reed, Keane, Ty Deegan, Blanche, Shane Murphy, Mike Carey, ball there on the half hour, and the ball there on was top class. And when you get them lads on the ball, like, you're going to hurt team. So it was great performance for the lads.
Yeah, like, it's a difficult thing to work out who plays six, whether that's Richie Reid or whether that's Paddy Deegan. In a way, being able to kind of move around a bit at the weekend, where Richie was almost like taking primary possession, passing it off, Paddy had a bit more of a free roll, actually seemed to work quite well. Look, you know Richie really well. The debate goes on about who's the best six for Kilkenny, but he had a big, big performance against Dublin at the weekend. He got in so much ball.
Yeah, I know Richie, and he gets a bit of a going for a lad that has been part centre back for a team that's competing last to All Ireland, you know. And for a player who played on goal for the start of his career, he was on the extended plan for Kenny, and like centre back for us with the club the last couple of years and winning All Ireland. And I don't even think he got nominated for an All Star last year. And for me, he was like, who was better? Who what name better centre back than him, Nash? Like, I don't think there was one. And he didn't even get nominated for an All Star. You know, he's top class, and we're lucky to have him. Obviously, there's what people talk about, different roles centre backs play, but like Richie in that pocket there at six is different class, and I think it helps as well. We're us as forward, himself and TJ and the boys, like, we know what Richie's going to do when he gets the ball. You know, we played long enough together that's there. You know, that bit of that connection and stuff is there, so helps ping things together. When even Adrian there as well in half forward, and like, we know when you have that connection and stuff as well with from your club mates, I think that helps. I put them together, and then even with Paddy there now, it feels well, like he has that connection with like the UE. Like, you see what they do on the pitch, you know, just them small things around the field always help. But that understanding, I think, from Richie at six is there, and it is, he's top class. And for me, yeah, he's deadly. Like.
Talk to me about the prospect side of things then, because Paddy Deegan brought this up at the weekend. You spoke about it in some of the interviews early this week as well, where, you know, you've matched some of the great Kilkenny teams of the past by doing five Leinsters in a row, but maybe you feel like you're not getting the credit that you deserve. Like, is that a wider point about Leinster own, or do you feel it's about the current Kilkenny team that maybe you're not getting the flowers that you should be for the success over the last five seasons?
Yeah, I don't know, if you understand. Maybe a bit of both, but look, it's probably... The respect is there. We're big on respect and kind of like we respect every team, every county, everyone we play against, every opposition. But we respect ourselves as well, and obviously you have to have that bit of get that bit of bite. So look, obviously you want to big these things up, you know, to get the best out of yourselves as well. So look, we're just really proud of what we've achieved, and just it's mental that it's only been the fourth time. Was it's been done by a team in Leinster, and obviously there are plenty teams before us. So I think it's the fact that I suppose probably having won All Ireland probably weighs it down, because them plenty teams are winning All Irelands like the whole time, and us this wasn't this five in a row. Any team what Limerick have won All Ireland every year of it, or so was the last 4 years of it. That's the thing, and maybe if we were to win All Ireland, it'd be a different story, you know, but. I think every team's probably nearly on the same boat, because I suppose Limerick are so dominant at the moment that because every team, we aren't as good in them, as simple as that. There's a better team out there. So maybe that's it, but we won't get too bogged down that we're just very proud. We're a very proud county, very proud both team, and we just want to, I suppose, get back to the top. I suppose that's simple as that.
Can you read any importance into 3 months ago, Páirc Cuíve, you play Limerick in a league semi-final and you beat them? Now, ultimately, it doesn't result in silverware because Clare beat you in the final, but is there any significance to be read into the fact that you beat Limerick that day?
I don't think so. Like, it was, end of the day, it was a league semi-final, and there's no dividends come this time of year. But look, we took stuff from the game, simple as that, you know. Obviously, we're unlucky not to beat Clare, but like that's a long time ago now. Maybe, like, it shows that we can beat them, whatever. It's all... It doesn't matter, but obviously it gave us that big confidence at the time, because we know how good Limerick are, and it was great for us to beat them, especially because they beat us so many times. They probably beat us the last three occasions, like, so it's nice. It was obviously nice to beat them. It was nice to beat any team, but yeah, it was nice. It wasn't any better than that. It was, and we didn't win the league. It wasn't successful at the end of the day. But look, you know, I've been involved with those with Ballyhale over the years, and we've lost league games, and look, it hasn't mattered when it comes to championship, because it really makes you more angry. So I won't like to play Limerick again after us beating them. It probably adds them more hungry playing us again the next stage, not kind of way. So yeah, it's simple as that. Well, yeah, no, it's done and dusted now, and probably it's completely irrelevant, really.
I don't know what the feeling was like on the pitch for the All-Ireland final last year, because I'm sure when you went in at half-time, the blueprint is working almost perfectly. You're getting turnovers, you're restricting the amount of shots that they're getting away compared to what they normally do. And then they seem to just hit a gear in the second half. Like, I don't know what the second half must have felt for you as a player watching on last year.
Yeah, obviously it was tough. It was very disappointing. Probably, yeah, obviously you always say when you play them big games, have no regrets. And yeah. Probably don't have regrets, but just you came up against a superior opposition and I suppose from 1-15... and even the subs come on that day, we probably didn't do ourselves justice, especially in the second half. But look, Limerick are top class, and they got actually not away from their farms. Like, it was top class what they did to us that day. And it probably never felt on the pitch that day, that last 20-25 minutes, just sort of showed what they're about, and complete respect that big class from them. And it's just about, I suppose, we just want to get back where we that was our Ireland final again, and regardless of who we're playing, we just want to get back there again and give it our best shot.
James Gale always says in this podcast that you're better off to take the shortest route between A and B. So I would imagine coming out the front door as Leinster champions, booking yourselves into a semi-final, having these 3 or 4 weeks now of probably 3 weeks of very intense work ahead of the semi-final is the path that you would have wanted rather than having to go a longer route to get there.
You know, I'd agree with that now, yeah. And obviously with that sort of short route comes winning, like, so obviously you want to win, simple as. So if you're on longer route, you're after, so it's not been successful. So for us, it's about winning, and you're hardly going to lose a Leinster final to play an extra game or two. Just be, you know, that kind of way. So we are in the semi final now, and if we lost the game, we wouldn't be there, you know. So we know where we are, and we know we have 4 weeks to prepare for an Ireland semi final. And we know if we win the Ireland final, we know we'll be in the Ireland final. So it's simple as that. Our goal is to get to the Ireland final. So we now know we're one step away. And it's just about these next 3 weeks just preparing as much as we can to get the best performance possibly on that day.
You mentioned earlier that the younger players coming in, and sure, what now, 23, and you're one of the most experienced players probably around the panel at this stage, and you were captain last year. But like losing, I guess, some of the experience. I already mentioned Richie and Pádraig Welsh went in the closed season just gone as well. And over the last couple of years, you've had a lot of lads that would have been there in 15 that have now gone off the panel over the last while as well. Like, how have you found that adjustment over the last couple of seasons? Because, you know, it's the handover of Brian, the most successful manager of all time, to Derek Ling, in the middle of all these new players coming in as well.
Yeah, because only, I never really thought about it, I was only thinking about it yesterday, that like that 2020, say, Leinster final team that started compared to the one now, like you look at that Limerick team, that's been a constant the last maybe 6 years, the starting team, the modern players, but our team has completely changed, you know. I think it's mad, I think, because you rarely see that, you know. Even with our Ballyhale team, it was the same team the last couple of years, and obviously the change happened, we were unfortunate, but our team has completely changed over the last 5 years in terms of the starting players there. So just show, I suppose, the environment we probably have created, or that's been, I came into maybe in that dressing room, that was, regardless if you're there 10 years, like TJ and Wally and Bucky, Fogg, you're only there 1 year, you're coming into the same environment, you're there to win, you're there for the Leinster finals, and they're supposed to hopefully win All-Irelands, and a lot of us haven't got that yet. So look, we're all driving towards this, the same thing. At the end of the day, we're all in there for the same goal. So it's great to be part of. And yeah, now for me, it's there's young lads coming in that obviously when you see these young lads coming in, it's about trying to get the best out of them, because you know that's about like next year, the year after, it's going to be lads going, there's going to be lads going. So the next lads again, keeping things going, driving the standards, and it's as simple as that, really.
For TJ, was it 16 years now on the panel at this stage, which is incredible, really. Like, he's not there for scoring records. This isn't about him and Hoggy battling it out for the end of this. He wants another Celtic Cross before he retires. Again, at the weekend, he's super sharp. He gives you that edge in the forward line as well. I suppose over the last maybe 2-3 seasons, he's known his own body about when to come back in and when to come into the team. But still, even at the age of, he's coming up in 37 now, he still offers so much to your team on.
TJ is just, what could you say about him? Like, he's different level. Suppose what maybe he might see in games and stuff, like what we see in trainings, and especially being involved in the same club, is a privilege really to be watching him. And I think it's just the way he's able to win his own ball. It's just different level. Like, you know, I don't know anyone like it ever. Like, it's just, you go up a high ball with 15 lads, and next thing TJ catches it, and he's catching it down his waist, and how do you even get your hand down there? It's just the things he does, and this is so selfless. Like, you know, everything he does is for the team, and just always wants to, I suppose, improve even himself. At, or he's had to come up to 37 years of age, and he's still looking for improvements. You know, came in after one of the games this year after missing 3 or 2, and he was like a bull. You know, and shows the level of standards he has for himself, and he's just his top class teammate. And I suppose I've been privileged enough. I always say it, like we talk about, like Ballyhale, I'm so privileged to play with the lads I have at club level, because I think even playing with County, you don't see what you see at the club. It's just like himself and like Colin there for years, and like Joey Holland, like they all set such good examples in such different ways that it's just been a privilege to be part of that. And especially when you're growing up as a child watching these lads, next year in the dressing room with them, and your teammates with them, and your friends with them, and you're sharing such special days with them on the pitch and joining the pub and stuff. And so look, it's deadly, and like TJ's top class. And but we want to do for him as much as anything else. Like, I would do that to get him up them steps one more time, you know, because he deserves it. Like, he's top class.
Bloody hell, when you reel those lads off, and I'm thinking of Henry Shefflin, I'm thinking of Michael Fenley, all these guys along the way that would have been there when you were growing up. I don't know, was that any kind of intimidating thing to actually walk into a dressing room with all these lads you probably idolised for years?
I don't really know, yeah. It's a bit of both. Like any day, like, you're probably a club, you know, so you just want to win and prove yourself to them, you know. And the Ballyhale was such a small club, I probably would have, you know, underage, I would probably have trained them every now and again. And I was a water boy and stuff since I was 8 or 9, you know. So I was in and around them. So for me, it was just about maybe prove myself to them and learn from them as much as possible as soon as I got into the senior dressing room.
A little bit off the beaten track when it comes to the rest of the hurling championship, but I was just thinking, Mick Dempsey must have had a fair old effect on your career. You know, he was there so important with Cody in the backroom team for so long. We see his coaching acumen with St. Joseph's in Laois last year winning the football championship, and you would have worked with him, I would say, extensively enough in the IT in Carlow. I'm not sure the official title now. I think it's SET Southeast. Yeah. I'm getting on brand slowly but surely.
Yeah, no, yeah, fairness to Mick, I would have came in, he wouldn't have been there now. I think he might have went a year before I actually came into the squad. I came in 2020, so I think he went in 19, did he? But look, Mick, in terms of that, obviously up in SETU Carlow, as we call it now, Mick has been great. And just in terms of as a person, like, he's always someone you could always have that chat with, you know. He's very open, honest, which, and yeah, he's nearly, yeah, he's very good for, I suppose, your head, and he tries to get you in the right place at all times. And taking a lot from what Mick is, even in the dressing room in Carlow and stuff, what Mick has shown and what he's supposed to done for me and what he's shown. So I love the way, I suppose, even like shown maybe lads in lesser counties and lads aren't on county panels, how he treated them and how he got that gel together. And it's the way everyone on the same level, you know. Mick never treated anyone that was a county player in that dressing room any better than he treated a lad that wasn't even starting for his club teams, you know. But Mick is top class, and I do owe a lot to him. And look, he's always there for you whenever you need a shout for that or me up for a coffee and stuff. So Mick is top class.
Final one obviously has to come around Limerick and what happens for the All-Ireland Series from here, because everyone will assume now that Limerick are massive favourites. Look, a bit like yourselves, they've broken a new ground in their case with 6 Munsters in a row at the weekend, and potentially they could do the 5 in a row, which Kilkenny came up one short against Tip. Like, you might not have to stop them. They could be beaten in the other semi-final, you never know. But how much of a task is it to try and beat this Limerick team if, say, it was the 2E to get back into All-Ireland final next month?
Yeah, there's a lot of hurling to be done before then, but I'm sure, like, what can you say? They're top class, like, they're unbelievable. They haven't just shown it this year, they haven't shown it just last year, they're shown it to last. Well, they probably go back to 2018, really, you know. I don't know what you can say. Like, you have to just do everything you can possible on that day if you get the opportunity to beat them, because they won't take the foot off the gas. They know how to win games, and as simple as that, they've won games, so they know how to win them, and they don't like losing them. So look, if I suppose we're lucky enough to get down to the playing, which will be an Ireland final, it's just about bringing your all, I suppose, and as simple as that, really. And look, if you give everything, you can never complain. If you've no regrets even that pitch, it's just about emptying yourself on the pitch and see what happens.
Do you know, everything you've described there sounds an awful lot like Kilkenny as well.
In what way?
Well, I mean, winning mentality, a drive to succeed, something that never goes away. The fact that you have been there in the big games over the last few years as well. Like, it's funny how everything seems to be defined. And you know what you were saying earlier about the respect. I think a large part of why people maybe don't talk so strongly about, say, what you've done the last few years is because the expectation in Kilkenny is to convert everything into All-Ireland titles because of everything that's gone before you. Do you know what I mean? As in, like, Leinster was seen as a step for Kilkenny rather
exactly,
than...
Yeah.
In case you think any pundits have been unfair in you.
I agree with you. Yeah, they're just obviously talking to media and stuff today, and that's where I probably would look at, like, because even in Kilkenny, that's what is the ultimate goal, you know. And even y'all go look back at, I suppose, when you're in Kieran's College and stuff, Harty is such a big thing. But with Kieran's, it was never about winning Leinster, it was always about winning All-Ireland, you know. And there was people that say, oh, they've won Hearties. Kieran's all you're talking about winning all Ireland's, and it wasn't about Leinster or anything like that. So obviously Munster is ultra competitive, and it's, there's no wonder we're not disrespecting that. There's no two ways about it. It is, and obviously it's a tough championship to come out of, but end of the day, Ronan Glimmer will be happy if they just won six of Munster titles this year. They want to win in all Ireland, you know, and that's what it's about at the end of the day. And as you said, that's what Kenny is about. Them things are the fundamentals of a winning team, why I said, and that's what Limerick are at the moment. And so I suppose the rest of us to try on top of them, really.
How many journalists earlier asked you if you'd win Munster? I presume that came up with something, did it?
Oh, no, I didn't come up yet, so I suppose he won Munster, yeah, about.
I've a sneaky feeling if Galway and Kilkenny particularly were put into the Munster Championship, you'd probably be fairly competitive with it. Because look, ultimately, Owen, you play against the Championship that you're in, and it's about getting to a point where you're in a position to win the Leinster Championship and then to go into the All-Ireland Series. I have no doubt this year before we finished, you kind of worked your way towards peaking towards that. Because there were a few people who were thinking, just maybe Kilkenny aren't totally on it. Look at the Carlow draw, maybe look at needing your late goal to beat Dublin. Yeah. But I'm sure in the back of your mind, you were working towards the All-Ireland Series as much as those group games.
Yeah, I suppose it's a hard thing to really put your finger on, because ultimately about every game you play, you go out to win and give your best performance. But yeah, we probably know in our heads that, yeah, it's about, them games are just about winning, and simple as this, but now it's about just getting the best out of ourselves, you know, because we know that in order to get to the final, we need to play at our best. And that was the start of the weekend was the start of it, really. And I don't ask, no, I don't think either about them games, but I think we definitely were playing our best, but we just probably weren't that, as you know. And I wasn't thinking about anything about being complacent or thinking about Leinster final or anything. It was just very competitive, like tight pitches and stuff, and like the teams we played against our top class, like Wexford, we barely got over line there as well. And Carlow, even we had our full team and stuff, as I said, which that's obviously giving a bonus and help. And obviously the weather is coming around there now, and look, we love going out in the Co Park on a sunny day, as simple as that. And I think we should be seeing that at the weekend. But yeah, no, look, we're in a great place there now, and about just really putting the head down for the next few weeks and just All-Ireland semi-final, as simple as that. 1 minute, 170 minutes away from All-Ireland final, and that's where we want to be a start here, and that's where we are now. So it's all along good.
Yeah, look, all that to look forward to. It will be a trilogy against Clare. It could be Wexford. Could even be Laois if Laois were to beat Wexford this weekend. So a lot of hurling to be decided before we know what that semi-final is going to be. This has been a bonus hurling pod. It is brought to you by Bord Gáis Energy. They're the proud sponsors of the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship. Owen, thanks a million for joining us.
You know, some of it. Thanks for having me.
OTB's The Hurling Pod.
With Bord Gáis Energy.
Proud sponsors of the Senior Hurling Championship.